following podcast is brought to you by Josh Porter 08.
Country music has been responsible for making some of the biggest stars in the history of the music industry. Some of my favorite country music from the genre has been made by musical groups. The late 80s and early 90s was a particularly fruitful time for an era of successful groups in country music. On this episode, we'll revisit some of the musicians and the songs from those groups.
Like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway. Drift away like Tom Sawyer, ride a raft with old Huck Finn, make a nap like Rip Van Winkle, daydream. Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
I don't think you can have a conversation about successful country music groups / bands without starting with the most successful and first supergroup, Alabama. The group that would eventually be known as Alabama was formed by three cousins from Fort Payne, Alabama, Randy Owen, Teddy Gentry, and Jeff Cook. The young men would spend the 1970s playing the bar scenes in the southern United States and honing their craft. They spent several years up in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The three-part harmonies they would develop during that time would become a unique element of the band's signature sound. Randy Owen's stage presence and lead vocals were the perfect sound for the front man of Alabama. Teddy Gentry's work on the bass is absolutely legendary. Teddy's ability to harmonize vocally and use the high notes on the bass was truly something to behold. Jeff Cook's vocals were also another crucial part of Alabama's three-part harmony. And Jeff Cook would become a favorite and extremely influential lead guitarist in the history of country music. Tons of players to this day copy Jeff Cook's licks. Cook borrowed some licks himself from one of his biggest influences, Waylon Jennings. The early Alabama albums are filled with twang and the rough sounds that made a splash just a few years earlier during the outlaw movement for Waylon and other country music artists.
I was born across the river chance and love can still be found. Oh, Tennessee River and a mountain man, we get together anytime we can. Oh, Tennessee River and a mountain man, we play together, Mother Nature's band. Oh, Tennessee River.
Although Alabama had several different drummers over the years, Mark Herndon was the drummer for the majority of Alabama's successful albums. Mark was more of a rock drummer and definitely brought a more high-energy feel to the band. Although in later years Mark Herndon left or was forced out of the band, he still will be remembered by fans as a big part of the band, especially during their most successful time. You know, unfortunately, when these groups of any kind are together for a long time, whether it be personal issues, money issues, or whatever, you'll see fractures and splitting off, and that's exactly what's happened with Herndon in these later years of Alabama. But like I said, he really was a big part of what made them successful, in my view anyway. Alabama is among the world's best-selling bands of any genre. The band has sold over 75 million records worldwide. Alabama has also received more awards than any other group in country music history, with over 200 awards from various organizations. Prior to Alabama's success, the majority of the hits came from solo artists or duets. To say that Alabama changed the game and set the stage for future groups would be a great understatement.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush rushing through life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. Don't know why I have to drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not you, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. It's a race and there ain't no room for someone in second place. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until there's no fun. All I really gotta do is die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
You know, even the most talented singer without a good backing band will probably never become a superstar. The musicians that play behind your favorite solo artists are truly unsung heroes. That's what I like so much about the concept of a musical group. It really shines a spotlight on more than just the front man. Of course, no matter what, the lead singer will be the focal point of most paying audiences. I think it's cool that other members of the group get some shine, if you will, as well, though. As we get into some of the other popular groups from the late 80s and early 90s, we'll be hearing some of the most amazing singers and talented musicians in country music history.
Just about a mile off of 109, there's a little church sitting back in the pines. I promised that girl she was gonna be mine. I wouldn't be surprised if she was standing there crying. Oh, oh, I didn't know a burnout Ford could go so slow. Oh, oh, you got to put your foot down on the floor. Yeah, we've been rocking all night, but don't you know, you got to get me to the church on the Cumberland. Yeah.
Surprisingly, the next band I'd like to showcase is also from North Alabama, Muscle Shoals to be exact. Shenandoah was founded in 1984 by Marty Rabin, Ralph Ezell, Stan Thorne, Jim Seals, and Mike McGuire. Although the lineup has changed over the years, Shenandoah is still touring today. The original lineup is my favorite variation of the band. The band's self-titled album was a moderate success in 1987. At the time of its release, it was 1988's The Road Not Taken album that launched Shenandoah into superstardom. The album contained four songs that would become signature songs for the band, with three of the four being number one hits on the Billboard country charts in 1988. The album also made its way to number six on the Billboard country albums charts. Sunday in the South is one of the number one hits from the album. The song and this music video are a perfect recollection of how Southern people spent their Sundays in the South. The music video was mostly shot on the grounds of the Colbert County Courthouse in Tuscumbia, Alabama, a small town just down the road from Muscle Shoals. Jay Booker was the songwriter. Although I tried to research Jay's songwriting history, I was unable to find any other songs of this caliber. How amazing is it that someone who wrote such a beautiful, well-written song never had any other notable success? Anyway, let's take a trip down memory lane and listen to Sunday in the South.
Sunday's morning glow. Beneath the steeple, all the people have begun shaking hands with the man who grips the gospel gun. While in quiet prayer, the smell of dinner on the ground fills up the morning air. Ain't nothing sweeter around. I can almost hear my mama pray, "Oh Lord, forgive us when we're down." Another sacred Sunday in the South. Oh. They still smell the powder burning, and they probably always will. And on the old town square, under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair when I was 4 years old. I can almost hear my papa saying, "Won't you hold still, son? Stop squirming around. Another Southern Sunday's coming." Hear the old folks say, "You'll make it big one day and leave this town. Some lovely lazy Sunday you'll be back around." I can feel the evening sun go down, all the lights in the houses one by one go out. Softly in the distance nothing stirs about, and the night is filled
with the sound of a whippoorwill on a Sunday in the South. All right, just another Sunday in the South. Oh, another sacred Sunday in the South.
Although the church on the Cumberland Road was a number one and classic song by Shenandoah, my favorite song on this album was Two Dozen Roses, co-written by one of Nashville's best songwriters, Mac McAnally. The band was able to capture the emotion of the song splendidly, and the tightness of the band was undeniable.
Brought flowers to your door last night. I done you wrong and I wanna make it right. You say I'm not welcome here. I know it ought to be perfectly clear, but I can't help but wonder what it might be. If I had two dozen roses and an old bottle of wine, if I really could have hung the moon, would it change your mind? If I could cry a little harder and get a little less sleep at night, if I had two.
Extra Mile would be Shenandoah's third album and was released in 1990. The album would peak at number 11 on the Billboard charts. Although the album wasn't successful, commercially anyway, as their previous release, it was a solid album. Three of the songs would go on to become classic Shenandoah songs. Next to You, Next to Me was simply a fun, upbeat love song with great harmonies, twangy electric guitars, and a cool little acoustic rhythm that really drives the melody of the song. The song would go on to be another number one hit and the band's longest reign at the top of the charts at 3 consecutive weeks.
Cause I'm picking you up with a full moon shining and a little bit of luck. We'll run out of gas and maybe get stuck. We can get along, baby, I don't care. I ain't worried as long as you're there. There ain't no place that I'd rather be next to you sitting next to me. There ain't no place that I'd rather be next to you, next to me. Barbecue chicken in aluminum foil, just enough money for my gas and oil. Who needs your shrimp and your caviar? I sooner have you just the way you are. Rich people got the money to hold. Mansion on the hill and diamonds and gold. They can't compare as far as I can see. Next to you, sitting next to me. There ain't no place that I'd rather be. Next to you, next to me. Change the station if the news comes on. When the signal ain't coming in too strong, we'll make our own music, honey, all night long. If the good Lord's willing, when we're old and gray, the kids are grown up and moved away, we'll be rocking there side by side with the barbecue chicken and the TV guy. Well, there ain't no places I'd rather be next to you sitting next to me. Well, there ain't no places I'd rather be next to you. There ain't no place that I'd rather be. Next to you, sitting next to me.
Ghost in This House is still one of the most unique and powerful songs in Shenandoah's catalog. Absolutely haunting lyrics about a couple going through the motions of a dying love affair. You know, there's so many layers in this recording. If you listen closely to the lead guitar work and the synthesizer slash keyboard work, there's a lot of little just beautiful layers in this song. You know, Marty's powerful vocals really propel this song to the number 5 spot on the charts. And, you know, looking back, if there's one song in Shenandoah's whole catalog that could probably be held above all the rest of them, it may be Ghost in This House. Just simply because it is so unique and so different.
I don't pick up the mail. I don't pick up the phone. I don't answer the door. I'd just as soon be alone. I don't keep this place up. I just keep the lights down. I'm just a shadow on these walls. As quietly as a mouse, I haunt these halls. I'm just a whisper of smoke. I'm all that's left of two hearts on fire that once burned out of control. It took my body and soul. I'm just a ghost in this house. I don't mind if it rains. I don't care if it's clear. I don't mind staying in. There's another ghost here. She sits down in your chair and she shines with your light. I'm just a whisper of smoke. I'm on the slip of two hearts on fire that once burned out of control. It took my body and soul. I'm just a ghost in this house. I'm just a ghost in this house. I'm just a shadow upon these walls. As quietly as a mouse, I haunt these halls. I'm just a whisper of smoke. I'm all that's left of two hearts on fire that once burned out of control. It took my body and soul. I'm just a ghost in this house. I'm just a ghost in this house.
Moon Over Georgia's opening few lines really showcase Marty Raven's vocal once again. This song would go on to become a signature Shenandoah song. Although it would only reach the number 9 spot on the Billboard country charts in 1991, it should be noted that Shenandoah's most successful era was taking place during a time that was also the prime of some of the biggest names in country music history, such as Garth Brooks, Vince Gill, Alan Jackson, Reba McEntire, Travis Tritt, George Strait, and even more. I mean, there were just a ton of great artists on the scenes when Shenandoah was really churning out the hits. There was also no lack of competition from other great country groups and duos such as Diamond Rio, Brooks and Dunn, the Judds, just to name a few.
He owns a big estate just south of Savannah and a high-rise hotel in downtown Atlanta and half the state of Georgia to his name. She'd be set for life in his colonial manor. He laid the world at her feet on a silver platter, but all I had to offer her was the moon. She took the moon over Georgia. She'd rather have a million stars in the sky than a gold mine. She took the moon over Georgia. When it came down to world of mine, she took the moon over Georgia. A little country house in need of expansion. It's a far cry from his South Georgia mansion, but we've got our own paradise. Shadow dancing till dawn with a full moon shining, and those occasional clouds all have a silver lining. There really must be something about that old yellow light. 'Cause she took the moon over Georgia. She'd rather
Unfortunately, Shenandoah's next few years would not be as successful for the band. It's a little known fact that Shenandoah was sued by multiple bands in late 1991 over the use of the band name Shenandoah. The band did not receive legal backup from their record label, and in turn was forced into filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy after paying over $2 million in settlements and legal fees. Although the band kept recording, they just never regained the same momentum that they had from 88 to 91. That being said, the music they made in that 3-year period is unforgettable.
It was 700 fence posts from your place to ours. Neither one of us was old enough to drive a car. Sometimes it was raining, sometimes it would shine. We wore out that gravel road between your house and mine. I'd start walking your way, you'd start walking mine. Both give a little, ain't no road too long. We meet
under that old pine tree, you ought to see it now. Standing in the backyard, reminding me and you that if we don't see eye to eye, there's something we can do. I'd start walking your way, you'd start walking mine.
Diamond Rio was formed in 1982 at the Opryland USA theme park, formerly in Nashville, Tennessee. There were several rotating members until the final six members came together in 1989. Marty Rowe, Gene Johnson, Jimmy Olander, Brian Prout, Dan Truman, and Dana Williams. Diamond Rio released their first single in 1991, and it was off to the races. Meet in the Middle made them the first band in country music history to have a debut number one single. Diamond Rio's self-titled album is an absolute classic. I've been listening to it on a regular basis since its original release date. It never gets old to me. Jimmy Olander's B and G bending guitar work is still mind-blowing and has inspired many other country guitarists, including Brad Paisley. When I say the album is great, I mean the entire album. There's no filler on this album, people. Here's one of the tracks that was not a hit and wasn't released as a single at all. It's called Pick Me Up.
Down beside me at the cafe bar,
up so I can fall again. Help me get back on my feet again. I gotta get back at ground zero before I have a chance to win. Pick me up so I can fall again. Pick me up.
Oh,
pick me up. Me up so I can fall. Help me get back on my feet again. I gotta get back to ground zero before I have a chance to win. Pick me up so I can fall again. Pick me up so I can't fall again.
Diamond Rio's first album produced 5 hit singles. And the following year, in 1992, they were named the top vocal group at the ACM Awards. Mirror, Mirror showcased the band's bluegrass-type harmonies along with some serious twangy Telecaster lead guitar work by Jimmy O. Mirror, Mirror would go all the way to the number 3 spot on the Billboard country music charts.
She knew what she was doing when she left you hanging there.
The next Diamond Rio single from the album is one of the best, quote-unquote, down-on-your-luck type songs in country music. Another top 10 hit, but the song has stood the test of time. Nothing is more country than calling mama when times get hard.
Well, hello, it's good to hear your voice. I hate to call so late, but I didn't have a choice. I'm calling you from Dallas, headed for LA. I wish I had more time to talk. There's so much to say. No, I ain't forgot how I was raised, but I'm living way too fast. It's a roller coaster ride up and down. My new job, I'm headed for the top. I should be happy, but somehow I'm not. Sometimes I think the devil has got me by the sleeve. Oh, mama, don't forget to pray for me. Tell me, how is the weather? Have you put the garden out? Are the dogwoods out behind the house? No, I'm not sick, there's nothing wrong. No, don't wake a dead. I just thought of you and home and got a little sad. The devil has got me by the sleeve. Oh, mama, don't forget to pray for me. Oh, mama, don't forget to pray for me.
I could probably talk for hours about all the good Diamond Rio songs in their catalog, but I just really wanted to touch on this first album because it has so much good material in it that I really think that everybody that loves country music should own this album. If you don't already own it, I've probably bought it at least four or five times on different formats throughout the years. Some 26 years after their debut, Diamond Rio remains one of the most influential bands in country music. The awards and hit songs continued till the early 2000s. But to me, Diamond Rio's masterpiece was that debut album.
But now you're leaving on a one-way street. It's a hard, hard lesson, but you're gonna have to learn it. It's a long, cold swim up against the current. Somewhere down the line, you're gonna have to turn it around. Mind fade away as you cross the county line, running from trouble or from the truth. It doesn't matter either way you lose. It's a hard, hard lesson, but you're gonna have to learn it. It's a long, cold swim up against the current. Somewhere down the line, you're gonna have to turn it around. One thing for certain, gonna reap just what you sow. And all you planted was heartache and pain. Don't look now, but it looks like rain. It's a hard, hard lesson, but you're gonna have to learn it. It's a long, cold swim up against the current. Somewhere down
first of all, just let me say how much fun I had, you know, making this podcast, coming up with it, researching it, recording it. Everything was just a really, really fun time for me, just simply because I admit I'm a sucker for nostalgia. One of the highest compliments I could ever give to a musician is that the music that they created stood the test of time, and I really do feel like the artist that I covered on today's podcast did just that. I mean, these three groups just put out so many great songs. You know, all the hits and the good tracks on the albums that weren't hits are just a big part of my life, so I'm very, very thankful for that. There was something that I did discover a little bit on Alabama album, Mountain Music, something that's really just not ever talked about, I think, with any musical group or band or whatever is sometimes the way that they're marketed. You know, like that Mountain Music album, even me, I always thought that those were Jeff Cook licks and stuff throughout the entire album. And really and truly, I was probably wrong on some of that because the famous, well, famous in my mind, Fred Newell was one of the guitar players that actually was an additional musician on that Mountain Music album, which may have been where that Waylon sound was coming from, because he also played on some Waylon Jennings albums back in the 1970s. Now, the use of these additional musicians is a commonplace and has been for, it's a common practice and has been then, now, and probably will always be. But like I was saying, the way that the record companies market these bands slash groups is that if that's the four Alabama members, if you buy the records, you think that's who you're listening to. And unfortunately, it's just not true. Alabama's live shows in the 1980s, you can hear a big difference between the studio recordings and the music that the, you know, the guys made on stage whenever they would go out and play shows. And this is not knocking the band or anything like that, but it's more so knocking the way that they were marketed, which is probably out of their hands, I would think, especially at that point in their career. But I am kind of curious how much these additional musicians were paid, because if you think about how much money was made on just this Alabama album, much less all the other ones that they sold, millions upon millions, this can be the darker side of the music business. For example, the Mountain Music album, as of a few years ago, had sold over 6 million copies worldwide. And I doubt very seriously that those additional musicians get a cut of that. Now, I might be wrong, but I doubt it. But just to let you know, there weren't just a few additional musicians on the Mountain Music album. There were 15 additional musicians. This includes 5 other guitarists, 3 drummers, 2 bass guitarists, 2 keyboard players, and a harmonica player. Most studios only pay studios musicians an hourly rate for demo sessions. Now, I don't know if it's any different for a big record like this one, but it's got to make you wonder. I mean, I was unable to find any information on how much these musicians were paid back in the day. Back in 82, I believe, was when that album was recorded. But I guarantee you the record label and the executives got a much bigger cut than the members of Alabama or the additional musicians that contributed to the album. Now today, most non-union studios pay studio or session musicians $40 to $60 an hour. So compared to the millions that were made, that's a really, really small amount. Now, there was another little tidbit, if you will, that I came across when I was doing some research for Diamond Rio. Whenever Shenandoah was having all that legal trouble with her name change issue, one of the things that was thrown about to them was to change their name to Diamond Rio. That's right. They almost took the name of the band that I covered third on this podcast, which is very, very strange to me. Also, something that I had no idea about was the fact that there was a rock band in 1975 named Diamond Rio, but the Rio, instead of R-I-O, was R-E-O. They had a song that charted at number 44 on the pop charts in early 1975, entitled Ain't That Peculiar.
Ain't that peculiar? You do me wrong. without you. Stay away too long and I can't live without you. Every chance you got, you seem to hurt me more and more. Each hurt makes my love stronger than before. I know that flowers grow from rain.
There's just a ton of information on all these bands that I ciphered through and really had a good time trying to figure out what the hell made them who they were and whatnot. And I'm sure I missed a lot of stuff, but just to emphasize the success that they enjoyed, I mean, now, you know, nobody sells the physical copies that those guys were selling back in the day. And the amount of YouTube views that these bands get now, it shows that their music is still listened to on a big-time basis. But, you know, as we go out here, I would like to just talk a little bit about an Alabama song that was popular in the 1990s, a song called High Cotton. And being from the South, you know, it almost like Sunday in the South by Shenandoah. This Alabama song, it really painted the picture of the South, you know, back in the back when Randy Owen and the guys were young cats, which is a generation or so before me. But I've heard my granddad talk about it. I heard my dad talk about it. And I always felt like it was a pretty good representation of how it was to live down here in Alabama in the 1950s, 60s. It's a beautiful song, and I've listened to it forever, it seems like, over 20 years at least. And up until a few years ago, I never really got into some of the older artists as far as the not-so-mainstream guys. And some of the guitarists that I dove into a few years ago were guys like Doc Watson and Merle Travis, because, frankly, if you're trying to get better as a country music guitarist, as I am for fun mostly, you have to dig into the guys who were there in the early days and who not only came up with different songs, but they came up with different ways of playing the songs. So they would play a lot of old traditional country music and bluegrass, but they would do it in a way that was all their own, and it's very complicated. It's a special style of picking where they would use their right hand as much as they use their left hand, almost like a banjo player would, and finger style pick and things like that. And they were just phenomenal. Now, all that music was gone from mainstream radio in the 90s. I mean, completely gone. And like I said, until I went back and really listened to it, again, after not really listening to High Cotton by Alabama for several years, I didn't realize how much that song was influenced by Doc Watson and Merle Travis's guitar playing. And it's pretty freaking phenomenal that even at that time, Alabama had the whoever it was in the group or the management or whoever had the gall, I guess you would say, to try to do something that different from what was on mainstream radio. I mean, because that's old-time guitar picking, especially there at the beginning of High Cotton. If you take a listen to some old Doc Watson and Merle Travis, you'll see what I'm talking about.
When I first heard this tune, Pete, it was done by Alton and Raven Delmore, and there were two guitars, a tenor, a little four-string, and the regular flat top. And I never could get my guitar to sound both like both of theirs did. It wouldn't do it. Then I began to hear Brother Merle Travis, the late Merle Travis, on the radio, and I thought, now, wait a minute. If I can steal me a lick off of Brother Travis, maybe I can learn Deep River Blues. The first part of the Travis style I learned was this little thumb rhythm. way you do that, you mute about the first three or four strings on the guitar with the edge of the back edge of your palm, the ball of your hand here, just before they come off the saddle. And that little chord right there is the little E. Now, in that rhythm, you jump the fifth string. I'm lazy. I never figured out a way to bar that and get that fifth in there, you know.
I think a lot of people do that.
Yeah, you jump the fifth string with that rhythm. Then, after about 10 years practice, I begin to learn the lead line. Like. See, I just play with one finger and a thumb. I don't use the sensible three-finger method that you should use on fingerstyle guitar. It's a little diminished chord. Then when you put that with the rhythm, it sounds like this. You bend the note. I thought I had accomplished something that had never been done before when I learned that tune. She walks just like a waterfowl when I get them deep river blue. Bless her little heart, ain't no one to cry for me. Fish go out on a spree when I get them deep river blue. If she'll float, yes, I got them deep river blue. Gonna run down to Muscle Shoals. Time's getting better down there, I'm told, boys. I got them deep river blue.
Walking in high cotton,
old times that are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away. We were walking in high cotton. Old times that are not forgotten. Leaving home was the hardest thing we ever faced. Sunday mornings rolled around, we dressed up in hand-me-downs, just in time together with the church. Sometimes I think how long it's been, and how it impressed me then. It was the only day my daddy wouldn't work. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away. Walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Leaving home was the hardest thing we ever faced. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Those fertile fields are never far away. We were walking in high cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Leaving home was the hardest thing. Walking in high cotton.
Well, that's it for this episode. I'm sure I'll be revisiting groups again on the podcast because there's a bunch of them left, man. Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Apple Podcast or listen on my website, joshporter08.com. If you'd like to support the show, check us out on Patreon, joshporter08. This is just the first episode in this vast subgenre of country music. And always, thank y'all for listening.
Park down on Lover's Lane, steaming up his own heat. Two lovers stare up at the stars. Somewhere in the lights below, two houses all aglow. Parents wondering where on earth they are. Cause their folks have tried to tell them this is way too serious. And while their mama's away, up there holding, loving, kissing. Again, come whatever may, they keep going, dreaming, smiling, believing that nothing matters like this love they hold in. A few years as a wet house, a quarter acre and a little white house, more than they can well afford. And those easy payments are getting tough. All the overtime ain't enough. Still they couldn't ask for more. Cause that old hill that they've been climbing might be getting steep. Although they don't seem to mind it, they keep holding, loving, kissing, hugging. Come on. As they rock their newborn baby fast asleep, they know the most important lesson they can teach.